Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, another little brother beatdown is on the way. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 23 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this Wednesday evening?
I'm hanging in, you know. It was a long, busy day for me, but, you know, I'm chilling now. How about you?
A little bit tired because over the past couple of nights, haven't been sleeping the greatest, but excited to get the show going and just had an exhilarating conversation with my roommate that we're going to get into here on the show in just a couple seconds. So it's going to be fun.
Neat.
I will give a little outline of the show first. We are going to do a game review, game preview coming up after we talk about this exhilarating conversation. And then after the commercial break, talk about some news around the league and then look at World Junior Camp rosters. We have those for Canada and the USA. So we'll be talking about those as well. It's going to be a good show. You're going to absolutely love it, I can tell. But Chase.
Alrighty.
Dylan and I, my roommate, we were talking about, gladiator style versus Hunger Games style. What could you beat? What couldn't you beat? Stuff like that. So coyote was one. Could you beat a coyote? What do you think, Chase? I mean, they get, I think, 45, 50 pounds. I think maximum length is like 3.5 feet.
Well, in my current health status, I don't think I could beat really anything. But like if I was in my general health status, I think I could take it.
Okay, so somehow what came up was a crocodile, and obviously we weren't going to beat that, but I was looking up the difference between a crocodile and alligator. And did you know that, like, crocodile and alligators aren't the only, like, crocodile/alligator-looking species?
What else we got?
We've got the caiman. It's spelled
the caveman?
No, caiman. It's spelled C-A-I-M-A-N. If you want to go ahead and look that up, if you're at home.
Okay, man. Get it. It's a pun.
No, I don't actually.
Oh, okay.
But it's a smaller version of a crocodile with an overbite, which is super interesting. Didn't know that was a thing. And then I saw a gharial. What the?
Caiman's ugly. What's a gharial?
A gharial is basically like the, what's the shark that has like the chainsaw type nose? It's like a very skinny nosed alligator.
Oh yeah. I don't know what it's called. Oh yeah. That also looks kind of stupid.
Like, I'm just thinking, what in the world do we have? Like, there's things out there that I had no clue. I thought there was alligator, crocodile. I didn't think there was anything else. But the gharial, actually, I mean, you said it looks stupid. I think it looks a little spooky. If you saw that running towards you, I mean, no thank you.
It's like a swordfish that would be able to use its, like, sword as more than just a stabber.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It can get up to 20 feet in length, which is bigger than the caiman, but smaller than a croc. 350 pounds. So they can get pretty big. They're a little bit skinnier, more elusive, more fast, but I mean, they're still, yeah, I don't know, craziness. And then I didn't realize, but polar bears are like insane compared to grizzly bears and black bears. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
Like in size wise, because grizzly bears and black bears can get up to like, I think 6-7 feet tall, and then they're can get to anywhere between 400 and 600 pounds.
And then I can take that.
Polar bears are 9 feet tall and weigh up to 1,000 pounds.
I can take that as well.
Oh my gosh. It was just craziness that we were going back and forth in. And I thought it was a cool hypothetical on what could you take, what couldn't you take. And Dylan was saying that if it's Hunger Games style, where you're just put out there and, you know, you have time to prepare, or maybe you don't, depending what it is. Maybe if it's a cheetah, it'll fly right at you. But he could build a spear and traps and stuff, he's saying. He said he could take most things. What do you think?
Not most things, because, like, bears take multiple tranquilizer darts and still just kind of chill. So I don't think he'd take most things, but some things he'd be fine with.
Yeah, he was asking about wolves, dire wolves. Dire wolves, like, are freaking insane.
I think most people in like normal shape, regular shape, like even if you're not necessarily outrun it, like I think you'd be able to get a wolf. You just got to attack at the right time, because if it gets on and starts biting, you're going to panic a little bit. But if you can, you can get a nice little roundhouse kick, you can knock it down and just pummel it, and then you're good.
Yeah, I think I looked up and like a gray wolf can get up to 180 pounds. Or something like that. So, I mean, they're big, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I can beat its ass.
There you go. All right, well, he also wanted to say sea lions and seals. He said on land he could take them. I'm like, well, yeah, obviously. But water, no chance. And there was actually a little bit of apprehension when it came to sea lions, because I didn't realize, but they can get 7 feet in length and up to 850 pounds.
Yeesh.
Yeah, didn't expect that, but
that's probably going to take a lot of blows, no problem.
Yeah, that's going to be it for our biology lesson, though. Just a fun little topic that Dylan and I go back and forth on, because we're talking a couple days ago about how apparently there's been, like, spotted megalodons, and now we don't know if that's, you know, legitimate, because obviously online it says they're extinct, but apparently there's been like five plus sightings of a megalodon looking shark species, which would be crazy. But
yeah, I'm not really sold on that whole thing. I don't really think that there's like there probably is something like that out there, but I don't think it's quite the size that, like, you know, stories and mythological like tales make it out to be.
I mean, we do know that megalodons were real. We have, what's it called? We've got, like, fossils and stuff of, like,
actual. Yeah.
But
that's fair. People are saying nowadays, oh, there's one out there that's, like, 6 trillion feet big. I don't think it's quite like that.
You know, 6 trillion feet, that might be a little bit small. I'm thinking 7, but.
All right. Well, I was just trying to not scare too many people.
Right. I get that. I think it would be cool to find something down there. Are you more afraid of the ocean or space?
Ocean. I would love to go to space. I do not want to go swimming deep in the ocean.
Yeah, I don't think it's really even close for me. Like, we're talking about aliens and stuff like that. I mean, there's stuff in our ocean that we don't even know about. So.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to pass on that one.
All right, well, we'll get off of that. Let's now go into our game review, game preview for our Tampa Bay Lightning. You only got one game to cover, and the boys played pretty well, but the outcome isn't exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah, a little bit of a homecoming for Derek Lalonde, and we got to see, or the former Red Wings coach got to see his old opponent in Jeff Blashill. Lightning did all they could. Billy Husso just played really well in this game, made 44 saves, 46 shots en route to a 4-2 Red Wings win. They kind of rallied a bit there in the third period. Their whole fourth line scored, so that's a little disappointing. I mean, Jonathan Berger, though, that kid's pretty good. It looks like he should be a pretty good player for them going forward. Really, like, other than, like, you just kind of, you know, like kind of not going your way, like, they played really well. You can't be mad at the rest of the team in really, like, Vasilevsky, like, he still played fine, too. Like, he got pulled a bit early. Empty netter kind of sealed the deal there at the end, but he still made 22 out of 24 saves. And I thought he did a perfectly fine job. It's just kind of one of those games that didn't go your way.
Yeah, there's not much you can do when you run into a hot goalie. I mean, you can try everything in the book, but if there's a goalie really on top of his game in a certain moment, it's going to be tough. I mean, 46 shots, what else could you want from the team? I mean, they were firing on all cylinders, 15 shots, you know, averaging 15 shots a period. So,
and I'm going to interject real quick. The craziest thing about that all, too, is that we had 30 on net in the third period.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were flying at them, but the hot goalie stands tall. The one thing that stinks about this, and, you know, we still have a long way to go in this season, but because of this Red Wings victory over Tampa, the Red Wings now sit third in the Atlantic while Tampa gets moved down into that wild card position. So the old Red Wings, you know, they're no longer. We're talking about how this is a team that's on the up and up, and they prove it here.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that, you know, they'd be in there this quick, like in the rebuild. We know Stevie Y very well here at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Personally, I know him very well, of course, is what I'm saying.
Of course.
But, yeah, obviously he built our team and put him, you know, on the path of success, and Breezeway helped him finish the job. And it's kind of doing the same thing in Detroit. He's putting them on that path to success. I'm sure we're going to see them be a competitive team for many years, and it's happening maybe a year or two earlier than expected.
Yeah, and then when we look towards our future games, we have two to cover. Starting on Thursday night, we've got the Nashville Predators. The Nashville Predators have been pretty hot as of recent, 7-2-1 in their last 10, with currently a three-game win streak. This is a team overall on the season, haven't really been able to put the puck in the back of the net, but a little spark from Matt Duchene with 7 points over his last five games has them in the right direction.
Yeah, and this should be a fun little matchup. They've gotten some really strong goaltending throughout the year, so it's going to be maybe a bit tough to break that wall, but we got a capable enough team. We have a strong enough roster, something that we can definitely do. You know, the one, honestly, big thing about the season for the Lightning this year is the play of Andrei Vasilevskiy has been relatively underwhelming. I mean, 10-8-1 in the year, 2.75 goals against, 9.09 save. Still no shutouts for the Tampa Bay Lightning yet this year. It's a little bit concerning, and there's articles starting to float out there. It's like, is it time to be concerned about Andrei Vasilevskiy? It might be. You know, we already beat him once this year, though. Beat him in overtime. I think we can do it again. Whether it's Vasilevskiy or Elliott playing, I'm not sure. I'm guessing it will be Vasi, but I still think that it might be a lower scoring game, but I still think we can edge him.
Yeah, I'm thinking this might be with Vasi this year. It might be just a John Cooper situation we had a couple of years back when they went on their first Stanley Cup run. I mean, the team didn't look great in the first, you know, 20, 30 games back in the, what was it, 2019-2020 season. They weren't looking fantastic through those first couple of games. We talked about John Cooper, how he's really got to get things turned around here, or else, you know, it could mean some troublesome stuff for him. And sure enough, the team turned around and it went well. I'm hoping that's going to be a similar case with Vasilevskiy here. I mean, still, the numbers aren't horrible. You know, I mean, Brian Elliott, even though he's 5-1, hasn't been great when it actually comes to stopping the puck. He's getting the wins right, because the team's been there offensively for him. But I think Vasilevskiy, he's at a point right now where if he can just kind of stay consistent through these next couple of weeks, maybe months, and then really start to ramp it up again, really find his footing, find that confidence, then we can get the Vasilevskiy of old, because right now it is not expected what he's doing, but it's not terrible. Like, it's still starting goaltender numbers.
Yeah. So at the moment in his NHL career, he's currently holding his worst save percentage of his career, and it's still a 9.09, which is still better than a lot of starting goaltenders out there. And especially in a higher scoring game nowadays, we can see some kind of wacky numbers from starting goaltenders, but if you kind of look at his career average, a 9.19 save percentage, that's very strong. I got to imagine he's going to get back on that track, especially where he was in the last couple of years. 9.16, 9.25, 9.17, 9.25. That's kind of what I'm expecting he should get back to. But if for whatever reason he doesn't, it could mean that a couple games that should be close might not go our way. And at the end of the day, that could make or break where we finish in terms of standings. And hell, maybe there's even an outside chance that we're fighting for a playoff spot rather than locked in.
Yeah, really hoping not that, but I think Vasilevskiy, we know goalies, they're weird, but once he gets that confidence going, once the team starts getting some wins with him in net, I think it'll just be smooth sailing from there. But confidence is a big thing for goaltenders because we know how mental the goaltending position is, so just hoping to get him back on track. But our next game, Saturday against the Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers' overall record, not terrible, but when you look at their last 10, they've been struggling.
Yeah, and really, it's not a super strong team in my opinion. Like, you know, we talked about it before. Like, they kind of lost that Matthew Tkachuk trade. They traded away Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, two of the better players in the league, and they still Sergei Bobrovsky, which I know I've talked about it. I'm sure I've talked about it before in the show, but Sergei Bobrovsky, if you look at his career, pretty much always he goes from high season to low season, high season to low season. Well, right now he's in his low season, and he's playing horrible. So Spencer Knight is, you know, starting to take over those duties and really kind of becoming that guy for them, which, you know, good for him. I really like Spencer Knight, and I got to imagine that we're going to see him in this game. But either way, little brother is not beating us. We already beat him once this year, had to take it to overtime, but I'm not as worried this time around. I think us being at home, riding off of that disappointing loss, we're like, all right, it's time to roll back, you know, take these next two games, take Nashville, take Florida. I got to imagine that we should come out on top.
Yeah, I agree. And Florida, one of their big weak spots has been special teams. And we know early on in the season, that was a problem for Tampa as well. However, we've been able to right the ship a little bit there. Our power play sitting really strong right now at fourth in the league at a 28.4%. So you love to see that. Our penalty kill's better as well. So the little bit of early struggles in the special teams department is much better for us now, but there's still struggles in Florida. So hoping for a big performance in that aspect of the game. And, yeah, if we don't get Spencer Knight, we get Sergei. Whew, this could be a beatdown.
Yeah, this could be a light-up-the-lamp kind of night.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, but on the other side of the commercial break, talking World Junior Camp rosters. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame moneyline on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. If you have any sports betting needs, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Chase, before we get into those camp rosters, let's quickly go around the league, see if there's any trendy news, and we'll start with Jacob Voracek.
Yeah, so some unfortunate news for him, looking like he could potentially be out for the year as Columbus' season just begins to fall apart. Just losing lots of guys to injuries. The team isn't very strong. Johnny Gaudreau, poor guy, has to suffer through the rest of the year before he can finally get Connor Bedard on that roster. But Voracek probably out for the year. Is he done in the NHL maybe after this? Who knows? It's possible he's an aging player. He's still talented, and I hope he's not. But who knows? Maybe he's like, his injury sucks. I just had to sit here, do nothing. I want to go back home, go back to Europe. I don't know. That's just very big speculation. Nonetheless, this Columbus team is about to be absolutely horrendous down the stretch the rest of the year, minus like two players.
And it just makes me question yet again, like, if a couple of injuries can thin this team out so much, why did Johnny Gaudreau select this as his location?
Yeah, like you said, he wanted to be close to home, but not too close for people going to show up to his doorstep. So he chooses a bottom three roster in the league. I would personally rather try to go somewhere where I can still get paid and still be set up to win. There was lots of options where he could have done that, but chose Columbus. And who knows, maybe in the long run it'll work out, because if they do land Connor Bedard, then he made the right choice, because that automatically makes them a contender yet again, because that kid is going to be something special.
Yeah, and it's wild because I've been to Columbus, beautiful city, but I mean, there's other markets out there where, you know, a Boston, a very nice city over there in Boston, and there's just other Tampa, other places where you'll get more money, you'd be more of a contender, and the actual atmosphere around the city is better. And Columbus, a beautiful city, like I said, but I mean, there's so many better options.
Yeah, I gotta agree. And how, if, as you mentioned, Tampa, if they could have made the room down in Tampa, I think there's a chance he might have came here, because that would make them, you know, just a stupidly good team. And Tampa is just a beautiful place to be. I love Tampa so much, but that obviously was not realistic.
Could you imagine Kucherov and Gaudreau, what they could do together?
Oh. That'd be icky, dude.
All right, well, let's talk about the Seattle Kraken now and whether or not they made the right pick.
Well, I still think they did, because they lucked into my number one player in the draft at fourth overall, as he gave, you know, the death stare to the Montreal Canadiens. For whatever reason, they decided, you know, to keep him in the NHL, which I thought, all right, he definitely deserves a shot, and they just wanted to play him 3 minutes a game for whatever reason. Well, as we talked about it, he got sent down to the American League, played well, 5 games, scored 4 goals, gets called up to the NHL, gets his first NHL goal a night or two ago, whenever it was. So hats off to Shane Wright. That was pretty cool. You know, he's played 8 games now, still got some time left on that contract, or like time left in his trial period, I guess, before they burn that ELC. So I kind of wonder what's going to happen there. I wonder if they're going to keep him up, if they're going to set him down. I don't know. But as of right now, good start for him getting his first career goal.
The best part, it comes against the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so Shane Wright right now, 8 games played, 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points. However, after his AHL stint, 1 game played, 1 goal, 1 point. So not bad.
He's 1 point per game rest of the year.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. all right, well, let's go to our World Junior Camp rosters. We'll start with Team Canada. This is the team that should be the shoo-in for silver, and we'll talk about the gold medalist next.
Yes, I like that point. While we're on it, talking about Shane Wright, but in addition to the roster that we're going to read you, him and Brant Clark were loaned from their respective NHL franchises to Team Canada, so they're going to be shoo-ins, locks to make the team. Brant Clark's going to finally get his chance after being left off for the last couple of years for whatever reason, I do not know. And same thing with Shane Wright, really, because, you know, he was on that team last year that in the tournament that got canceled, and he didn't play in the summer tournament. So he was trying to prepare for the NHL. So now he's finally going to get his U20 look, so I'm excited for that. But looking at this Team Canada roster, outside of that, the goaltending is going to be a little strugglesome. You know, I like Tyler Brennan. I like Bedard Gaudreau, but I don't really know if any of these guys are necessarily, like, studs. And when we get to the U.S., it'll be the same conversation going forward. But the back end will be strong. The forwards will be strong. I mean, it always is for Team Canada. Couldn't tell you the last time that the team wasn't good, but I really am looking forward to seeing what Connor Bedard can do. A little bit older, you know, it just dominated the Dub this year. Hopefully we can see him play the Adam Fantilli. I think that'd be pretty fun. That guy's dominating college right now. It's going to be a fun year for the Canadian team. There's a lot of really interesting prospects, a couple of draft eligible guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, this team might be the shoe-in for, like, undefeated, just they look fantastic on paper. I mean, you got the two top prospects in this upcoming draft. You got Shane Wright going back. Brant Clark teams up with Carson Lambos on the back end with a bunch of other good players here too. So, I mean, this team's looking great. I know Olin Zellweger, that's a guy that you were very high on in the draft.
Love him.
He's continuing to look good as he, you know, makes his progression. And it's a scary team. I can't lie.
Yeah, it looks good. You know, there's a couple guys that are going to be borderline, like Colton Dock, Zachary Bolduc, Zach Dean. It might be a little borderline, but it would be cool to see a couple of those guys. But I think all the draft-eligible skaters, at least, that show up at this you know, tournament are going to make the team. I think it's a shoe-in for them to be top-line guys. But, you know, outside of that, there's some really interesting names like Nathan Gauthier on the front end, like Reed Schaefer, who ended up being kind of a late riser last year. And then on the back end, you already mentioned a couple, but Kevin Korchinski, that's a big name to keep in mind too. But one name I'm surprised didn't end up on this roster, then Matt Tkachuk, ended up being a first-round pick, a high pick in this last NHL draft. little surprised he didn't make the team because, like, he's a pretty strong offensive threat from the back end. But there's always one or two guys that Canada leaves off. It's like, huh, that's shocking.
Yeah, and you would have at least liked to see him get the camp invite, right? See what exactly he can do. But I think the big thing is going to be scared of Connor Bedard because that kid, before the tournament got canceled last year, was on a ridiculous pace.
Yeah, he's just so good, dude. He's on a 26-game point streak in the dub right now where he's averaging over 2 points a game. Like, he's just toying around with people at this point.
So here's a question before we move on to the USA roster, USA camp roster, I should say. If Connor Bedard was in the 2015 NHL draft, where would he go?
That's a great question because right now, like, he's already done things that no one else has done before, at least hasn't in a long time when the league was easy to score in. But at the same time, Connor McDavid is maybe the most elite skater the NHL has ever seen, and that matters so much nowadays. So it's a good question. Like, he obviously beats the hell out of Eichel now when he's going one or two, and I really don't know which one I would choose. If I'm being 50-50, I got to lean Connor McDavid. He's already got the body of work. We've seen what he's done, but I think Connor Bedard's well on his way to becoming at least a top 2-3 player in the NHL, maybe even the number one.
And just looking over the past, you know, decade, you'd take Connor Bedard over everyone else except for McDavid, like over MacKinnon, over Matthews.
Yes, I would. As strong as awesome Matthews Drafty was, as talented as he is, as awesome as he's been, I think I would take the chance of Connor Bedard.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Let's now move on to the USA Hockey Camp roster. What are we seeing here? Is there some can we be positive about this team and have some hope when going against Canada?
You can be kind of positive about a couple things. Starting from the net, no, you cannot be positive because it's just not great. A couple of returns last year, Caden Embiarko, Andrew Oak, neither guy is really good enough to carry the load. So we see Trey Augustine, who's draft eligible this year, playing at NTDP. We also see Tyler Muzelik, who was a draft pick of the Florida Panthers last year. So if I had a guess, I would say that Augustine, Muzelik, and probably Embiarko end up making this team, which would suck for Oak because he was on the roster last year, but like, he's kind of struggling in the OHL this year. He's really just a backup anyway. So going from there to the D-core, it's definitely better. And, you know, a couple guys that are going to make the team, you know, maybe it's not going to – or that should make the team, I should say. Maybe it's not going to combine for the best balance, but it's going to be fun to watch because we're going to see Luke Hughes. I would imagine we're going to see Lane Hutson with the year he's having. I'm assuming we'll see Jack Peart. I'm assuming we'll see Sean Behrens. I hope Seamus Casey can do well at this camp to make the team because I think he's awesome. And Ryan Ufko, I think, is probably a lock to make the team as well. So whoever else makes it from there, we will see. But there's a lot of good talent there, but it's just a kind of a lot of offensive guys. So will they make for the best combination? I don't really know.
And Luke Hughes is a guy that could probably come in and be one of the best, if not the very best player on this USA roster.
He 100% is, like, without a doubt, no matter who's up front, and like, we'll talk about some of those names, he absolutely is. And once, you know, I don't know if you got anything else in the D, but we've got a couple things to talk about up front as well. So if you got anything else to say on the D, go for it.
No, go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, two things I want to mention about the forwards, two names that are missing. Sasha Pastajov, a guy that I really love. Anaheim draft pick, his third round pick, is exceeding that so far. He's playing in the OHL. They decided to leave him off the camp roster. It's a bit of a bias against Americans playing in the CHL, and it's a little garbage, but nonetheless, we also do not see Isaac Howard, our first round draft pick, as he's kind of off to a slow start to his college career, but got loads of talent. I gotta imagine he's a kind of shoo-in for the roster next year as long as he keeps trending in the right direction, but just not meant to be this year. So looking at the rest of this roster, you know, there's a couple draft eligibles here up front as well. So we see Gavin Brindley, who is someone I think could be a really awesome NHLer on the road. Same with Ryan Leonard and Will Smith. Three guys that are just super strong talents that are going to be at least fighting for a spot on this NHL team. And then, I almost forgot one, Charlie Strommel. I think he's locked and loaded. He already played in the tournament. I think he's guaranteed. I would say Will Smith's probably my favorite of the other draft eligibles. But moving on to some of the names you might know a little more. Logan Cooley, Jack Devine, guys might know, Cutter Gauthier, Rucker McGroarty, Jimmy Snuggerud. It's a very solid, you know, group all said and done. There's, you know, a couple names that aren't really household names like Kenny Connor, Sam Lipkin, but they're quality prospects, quality players nonetheless. And I think this team should be able to at least compete. I kind of feel nervous, I'm not going to lie. They really have to try to figure out how to win as a team, because I don't think they have a goalie that can steal the show. I don't really think they have a forward that can steal the show. Logan Cooley's probably got the best shot at doing that, and it's hard for a defenseman to steal the show in these tournaments. So we're going to have to see.
And what are the odds that Tampa's very own prospect, Dylan Duke, can make the team and perform?
I don't know, man. I would love to see it, because I really like Dylan Duke. I was a big fan of his in the draft process. I would guess he makes it, but I kind of feel like it's going to be in a supplementary role. I don't think we see him as a top six guy unless he has a hell of a camp. And, you know, he's playing well at the University of Michigan, so it would be cool to see him do that. But, you know, like Logan Cooley, Cutter Gauthier, those guys are pretty much guaranteed to be ahead of him. I would imagine that Rucker McGroarty, Charlie Strommel are locks as well, maybe even Chaz Lucius. So that right there leaves one spot open for whoever that might be. And I really don't know if it's going to be him. But I do have one thing I got to say as well. I don't even know why they wasted time inviting Tyler Boucher to this, because, like, he sucks.
Mm. Very good.
The nicest way possible. Like, he should have never went as high as he did. I don't know why he went as high as he did. He's just, like, at best, he'll be lucky if he's a grinder third line NHL forward. He'll be lucky. And they took him, like, 10th overall, Ottawa did. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, tough there. My last question for you, Chase, is looking up and down this USA roster, forwards, defense, goalie, as a whole, is there one prospect coming out this upcoming class that you think we should have our eyes on? Is there one guy that headlines this class for the United States?
I would say that Charlie Strommel is the one that you should keep an eye on. I think Gavin Brindley, Ryan Leonard, and Will Smith are all going to be awesome prospects too. But Charlie Strommel, I would be shocked if he's not the first American off the board. He's playing college hockey already at the University of Wisconsin. He already played on this U20 team back in the summer event that they did. Like, this kid, he's awesome. Big body, got a lot of skill. I think he's going to be pretty fun to watch.
Going to be excited to see him out there on the ice, and there is a lot more to come when it comes to World Junior Talk. We'll be covering it here over on the Bolts broadcast, so stay tuned if you're interested in that. But we're going to move on to a hockey name of the day now, and we have Chris Butts.
Well, that's inappropriate, Mike.
Okay.
Well, Chris Butts, he is an American-born forward who played 8 games at Mercyhurst College, which is NCAA D3 at the time, in the 1990-1991 season. He had 2 assists in those games. Outside of that, I don't have a birthplace of the United States. I don't have a height. I don't have a weight for you, but I can tell you that he is retired.
Okay. And you can tell me that his last name is Butts.
Again, Mike, that's inappropriate.
Perfect. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase. Good, hit him with an outro.
Sorry, I was just looking at his roster real quick, seeing if I could kind of get a general age group. A kid on his team, or I guess an adult now, but a guy on his team had 96 points through 33 games. That's not too bad.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, ended up playing some pro games, nothing in the NHL. But anywho, we would like to thank you guys for listening. You should check us on Patreon. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter, at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter, WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. You can find all the podcasts network right there. Boom, click the logo, listen, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. Whatever you do, do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. Talk to you next time.